line, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. Oh, excuse me.
Do you replay in your mind the trial at all? Do you replay her testimony?
Oh, it's just a lying, reptilian, monstrous young lady. I just hate her guts, and she put me in that state where I don't know. I really wish I did now, but now I really do want to rape her and her mama.
You could have gotten out a year earlier from prison if you said you did it, right?
Yeah.
And?
I didn't want to come home the day I was released, okay? So I don't know. What was I coming home to? What would I get released to? Think, man, this is always going to be hovering over my head, something I did not do. If I did anything I did, right, I hit that guy in Maryland, those two guys, let me keep my felony for that, because I'm wrong. I hit those people. But I didn't rape this woman. My representation thinks I'm a monster. So if he thinks I'm a monster, what are these poor, ignorant bastards who I consider our jurors, my equals, who never stole a loaf of bread, my equals, whose mother never, ever had to sell some feed her children, my equals, of course, they're gonna convict me.
Well, the word is Greta Van Susteren went home last night and just rubbed herself raw. She was excited beyond words. She got the ape to really drop some bombshells. I mean, he was dropping some banana peels all over the place on that interview last night. A completely meaningless exercise in journalism. If you missed it, you know, Fox, which is patting itself on the back and making love to itself these days as being the, what is it, objective one? Is that what they call themselves? Fair and balanced, that's it. Yeah, they're fair and balanced. And so Van Susteren decided she'd break the ape out because there's nothing going on. She has absolutely nobody producing that show that can come up with any real unique story, any real unique take on anything. There's nobody working the Greta Van Susteren show who's got a clue about anything. And she, Greta, bright woman, former attorney, she's not a journalist. She just sits there and does what they tell her to do. She's a smart lady. I mean, she's great in the courtroom, I'm sure, although I wouldn't know, but I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. And I bet you anything she could hold her own in a conversation having to do with anything from marbles to nuclear science at a party. But when it comes to producing a nightly television program, it probably gets a little thin, right? So what did they do? They did what everybody in American journalism does when they got no idea, they got no material, they got nothing to do, they can't figure out anything to do. They already milked American Idol for every last ounce. And by the way, what happened to the recount? I thought there was going to be a recount. Oh, well, that one went away, didn't it? So what she did was she went for America's official monkey, Mike Tyson, broke him out, had him say a couple of inflammatory things about a woman that he allegedly raped or didn't or did or who knows, and then he dropped a couple of bombshells about her mother, and Greta, boom, she's a star again. Nice going, Greta. No wonder Connie Chung is just an also-ran. Connie Chung would have been so jealous of that scoop, she shoved an O. Henry bar right up her yabba-dabba-doo after that one. And by the way, Connie Chung, good thing they got rid of her because that Paula Zahn is just kicking ass. Good thing they got rid of Connie Chung because the rest of that network's really making it happen now, aren't they? Poor Connie. I mean, I like her, but... You think it's Nembutal or what do you think of it? No, I think she's lost her mind. Yeah, you're right. Janice is she's doing the screwball thing to the side of the head. You're right. Connie Chung's great, but she looks as if she's mad. As if she's just slowly gone mad. Good evening. There was at the tail end of that a sort of a stark insanity. So I know I'm a lone voice in the wilderness on this, but I thought I'd just go ahead and bring it up. Because, you know, these people at Fox are everybody's best friend these days. And they're so fair and balanced. And they have absolutely zero idea what to put on their newscast, so they break out America's mascot, the chimp, out of his cage to start slipping on banana peels again. Mike Tyson. Poor, befuddled, violent Mike Tyson. But not stupid. I don't think he's stupid. I think the guy's got a chemical imbalance. I think he says stuff he shouldn't say, and he does things he shouldn't say. I don't think he's a stupid man at all. Understand something. You don't get to the level that he got in professional sports being an idiot. You just don't. You may not talk good English. You may be black, and you may have a gold tooth. And in many people's opinion, black, gold tooth, and not talking good English means you're an ignorant, from the urban ghetto. To most people, you're dumb. Not to me. Why? Because I'm Phil Hendry, and I'm not a racist. Anyway. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and I like blacks. For the next hour, we'll talk about my love affair with black people. Have you seen that website, Black People Love Us? Fantastic. You got to see it. blackpeopleloveus.com. Brilliant stuff. All right, speaking of Hollywood, I don't know what we got here this hour. I was going to, well, actually, coming up in the show, we're going to have a Scott Peterson update that you won't want to miss at all. You will not want to miss this at all. We're also going to have attorney Rich Slauson on. You haven't heard Rich on our show before. He's a criminal defense attorney. He has got some stark, stark commentary on the Scott Peterson case that I think is going to be incredible. So Rich is going to be our special guest. Fear Factor, we're going to be exposing Fear Factor for the tame, lame, dull show that it is. We're also going to be talking about Star Jones getting bugged. She's getting hate mail because she voted for Rubin. And we also have a kind of a Jack Nicholson quiz, which is going to be dull for anybody under the age of 50, but I could care less. I'm going to do it anyway. And Whitney Houston's nuts. That's what it says here. Whitney Houston's nuts. Who will those be? Bobby Brown? No, she's crazy as in psycho. What the hell are we talking about here? Cars, you'll probably die? Is that what I'm going to do? All right. Let's take a break here so I can get myself organized. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Who's this woman, Desiree Washington? I think he's telling the truth. I think she lied. I think they ought to reopen the Mike Tyson rape trial. They ought to reopen the whole case and get to the bottom of it. Whatever getting to the bottom of it is. You see, just because, like I said, just because a guy talks with a lisp doesn't mean he's lying. Just because a guy's crazy doesn't mean he's lying. Just because you don't like a guy's breath doesn't mean he's lying. And just because you don't like his color doesn't mean he's lying. He may be telling the truth about this woman. I think we ought to look back into this because I was just like 99.9999999% of the people in this country when they accused Mike Tyson of rape. I said, well, look at that ape. He must have done it. I was just like everybody else. Now I'm thinking maybe he didn't. Now I'm thinking the guy, this is what I'm saying. You don't have to like him. He bit Evander Holyfield's ear. Cost me a lot of money on that fight. Doesn't mean the guy's lying about that woman getting into his hotel room, pulling the, well, excuse my language, but wasn't it, I don't want to be graphic, but what was it, a maxi pad or something? She removed it, which is proof positive she was expecting to have sex. Oh yeah, 10 years later, you better believe it. Let me tell you something, Sustern, or Van Sustern, or Greta, or however you're referred to by close personal friends, maybe just eyes. I think you ought to, if you're going to do anything with Mike Tyson, other than the obvious, I think what you should do is dig into this case, find out if he's innocent or not, and then represent him for free. Tyson said last night on the show, if they retrial the case and he loses, he'll do the time again. That's how confident he is. He'd go ahead and do the time again. I know it doesn't matter to anybody because he's just a big, dumb black guy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to anyone. He's just a big, dumb black ape. Why would anybody care whether he got railroaded or not? You scream rape, you're guilty, pal. Woman screams rape, you're dead. You are dead. Let me tell you something. Just a little bit of advice. This is how my mind works occasionally. I don't think it's a good idea for a man to get into an elevator alone with a woman. In other words, a strange woman. Suppose it's just two of you standing in the lobby of a building. And the elevator opens and it's just going to be you and a strange woman, don't get in, pal. Don't do it. Don't do it. You want to know why? Self-protection. You don't know if she's a nut and if she's going to come screaming out of that elevator yelling, he tried to rape me. You think I'm crazy? What if it happens to you, man? This stuff, it does happen. They scream two things, you're guilty. Child molester or rape, you're done. You're done, you're guilty. They've strung you up and they've hung you from the highest yardarm and ain't nothing you can do about it. And if you're black with a gold tooth, brother, you're doubly screwed. I mean in every you-know-what. Your you-know-whats are in a bind. They've got you hanging by your you-know-what. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Don't get into an elevator with a woman by yourself unless it's your wife. And even then, she may run out screaming rape. I'm joking. Well, maybe not. Just as a matter of course, just as a matter of survival, never, ever get into an elevator when it's just you and a single woman. I'm sure the 9 times out of 10, everything's going to be fine. Don't tempt fate. That's how crazy the world has gotten. That's how dangerous it is, not for just men, for everybody. People are insane, and the insane people have gotten full sway. And what they're doing now is they've got control of the reins of the judicial power in this country. All they want to do is stick their faces in front of a camera. I mean, they'll use you to further their own law careers. Look at this guy, Garagos. Nice going, Mark, by the way. We're going to talk more about Lacey Peterson, but I just want to applaud this guy that's defending Scott Peterson. I mean, I got to tell you, man, you're hanging it out there. You're hanging it out there waiting for him to come along with one of those pruning shears because you really got guts. You know that if you blow this, you're dead, man. That's the end of you. You won't even be able to get a drunk driving practice going, man. They won't have you in the yellow pages under Mark Garagos. I'll get you off that drunk driving rap. You'll be sleeping in your own car. This is the big one. This is the one you've been waiting for. This is the one that you watched Johnny Cochran. You watched Perry Mason as a kid. You wanted to be all those big guys. You finally landed the big fish. Don't screw it up. Wait till you hear about what happened yesterday. Unbelievable. Tyson says he wants to rape former victim and her mother. This is what I'm talking about. This is the headline. This is the headline. And it's a Greta Van Susteren wet dream. Hey, by the way, speaking of the electronic media, we're going to talk next hour about Sean Penn and Tim Robbins, and I don't want to beat that to death, but really the bigger issue is movie studios. Since when are those cats not big corporate electronic concerns? See what I'm saying? I mean, excuse me, I just wanted to ask a question. How come Clear Channel and CBS Infinity and all the radio and television broadcast enterprises, how come we're the ones that are looked upon as a monopoly, but when you basically only got 3 or 4 movie studios on the entire planet? Oh, well, everything is just free and easy, baby. We really produce some art, don't we? And you got a chump, and I do mean chump, like Sean Penn working for the man over at Sony, talking about how he's got a monopoly on communication in this country. Anyway, they're blaming TV violence again on, what is this now? This is a teen critically hurt in a jackass stunt. Now, this is unique, because this is based on the movie, isn't it? Kid saw Jackass, then he leapt off of a building on his head or something. I don't know what he did. He leapt from a 5-story building. I think you ought to show Jackass to a room full of teenagers. The ones that jump off the top of buildings, you go, all right, good. We've been able to weed the herd a little bit more. This kid jumped off a building into a pool, and what happened to him? One of the teenagers jumped into a pool from the roof of a 5-story condominium, said they were merely seeking adventure and not imitating stunts seen in the TV show Jackass. It wasn't a stunt, it was a possible jump you can make. I have to tell you, my brother-in-law did the same thing, and he came out just fine. Just fine. I mean, don't you think they overreact a little bit? My brother-in-law drank a half a bottle of tequila and jumped from the balcony of his parents' home into the pool, and he's just fine and dandy. Nothing happened to him at all. So what is it that the news media is trying to do now? Are they trying to cram down the throats of our young people? Is this the ghoulish dissection of young people's minds, trying to keep them from leaping off the top of buildings into pools? Let me tell you, kids, here are the things I did growing up. Got on a skateboard and went straight down a steep 45-degree angle hill about 200 feet right into moving traffic, and I was fine. Okay? Used to walk around to the roof of my folks' house, just hang out up there smoking cigarettes. Nothing ever happened. And one time, we set fire to a car in a guy's backyard. So, go on out, jump off the top of a house, see if I care. We did. And the other day, I was playing poker with my friends. I said, whatever happened to that car we set fire to? And they're like, okay, I wasn't there. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, no more beer for Phil. No, really, we set fire to a car. And he didn't set fire to any car that I was around. See you later. The back of that guy's house, we set fire to a car. I know he did. Okay. Oh, now you're patronizing me, huh? No, no, no. It wasn't a stunt. It was something we could do. He's alive, said his mother, Janet Stone. His vitals are good. He remained hospitalized with two broken legs, a broken arm, and a cracked pelvis. I think it's funny. One friend was videotaping and five others were watching from below as Smith jumped. Hey, look at this. They got the picture of him jumping off the house. He's like this. Yeah! Arms are out, legs are out. Sheriff's officials have released a video they seized from the teens along with the roof diving. The tape shows a boy running through Sarasota Square Mall in a one-piece woman's bathing suit and jumping from a building into a tall bush. It's adolescent independence and taking risks like kids taking drugs or doing pot, Zinkad said. Whoever this guy is he a cop? I guess he's a cop. It was proof of the stuff we did. It was catching adolescence on tape. Adolescence comes with stupidity and arrogance. All of that was shown on the tape. Good. But I still think that jumping off of buildings is good for anybody, including a lot of our senior citizens who are listening. I want to just say something. I've worked with the elderly, and I've done a lot of volunteer work in senior citizen homes. And one of the things that we used to do is, and this really keeps them active, it keeps, it gives them a real kick. And keeps them feeling vital. And I think what our seniors need is to feel vital. We used to walk them to the top of the building and push them off. And you see, it was really, I think, something that you just tell yourself, you know, I've done my good deed for the day. Come on up here, Mrs. Brown.
Are we going to Legoland?
Yes, we're going to Legoland.
Really? Why are we on the roof?
We're going to fly.
All right.
Yeah! Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't do that much.
What are we doing today?
But the point of the story is this. Ask yourself this question. How come every time one of these parents sues, they sue a record company? They never sue the movie studios. They never sue a TV network. They always sue a band. They always sue a musician. They always sue Judas Priest, Marilyn Manson, Ozzy Osbourne, Alice Cooper. Why? Because they look like degenerate drug using, and they're just sort of single entities that they look like they can kick around, right? But if your kid goes out and commits a violent act, why don't you sue MGM? Why don't you sue Paramount? Why don't you sue Sony? Why don't you take down some of the big boys? No, they don't do that. You want to know why? Because they walk out of the movie theater going, oh, that Keanu Reeves, man, he really guns my engine, you know? 45, 50-year-old women walking out, oh, isn't he great? And when your kid goes out and blows his face off with a shotgun, you figure Ozzy said to do it, right? Ozzy told him to do it in his dreams or something. The kid was huffing Glade or he huffed some Bactine, and Ozzy said,
blow your face off.
Right, uh-huh. But as far as suing the big movie studios, we ain't going to do that. Why we do that? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is kind of a follow-up. Yesterday we were talking about the media because the FCC is reviewing merger consolidation laws and restrictions and so on and so forth. And just a little tiny story, about, I don't know, 3 months ago, a guy got canned from a public radio station back east someplace because he was pro-war. And the dude didn't want to, he also didn't want to play these updates at the top of the hour, these NPR updates. And I thought at the time when I read the story, well, that's really the reason. The guy's breaking format. And that's a legitimate reason to fire somebody. If you don't stay within the formatic constraints of what the station's trying to present, then you shouldn't even be working there, right? But this guy was expressing a decidedly pro-Iraq war point of view, and it was not denied by the station that that also came into play when they canned him. Dig it. Okay? Listen to this. Guess who hired him yesterday? A commercial radio station. A horrible, rotten commercial radio station owned by Clear Channel. The guy had to go to a Clear Channel radio station to be able to express a point of view that was his, but to be able to freely express a point of view. You want to know why? Because he couldn't do it on NPR. He couldn't do it on public radio. No, they fired him. He had to go to commercial radio. He had to go to Clear Channel. The big, bad, ugly, repressive, politically conservative, I can name millions, by the way, liberal hosts, and which I'm one of them, that work for Clear Channel. This guy couldn't get it set on NPR. Another reason why I can't stand public radio. Not because they're bad people, but they're just transparently phony people. And what they represent is so unreservedly, unreconstructed bullcrap that it just defies description. I have a very good friend who, and I mean, when I say a very good friend, a very good friend, I don't want to mention any names,
but she's my wife.
And she worked for a national public radio station. Now, she happened to also be very supportive of the United States' role in Iraq. Well, guess what happened when she expressed that on the air? First of all, the dumbasses that listen to that station, first of all, the people that listen to NPR have a proprietary sense that they own the station, that somehow they get to call the shots. So they call up, and they don't argue the point. Because just because you listen to public radio doesn't mean you got any brains in your head. What it does mean is that you're very dogmatic, you're very insular, not so much insular as you are very rigid, and maybe insular. And you don't want to hear another point of view. You don't discuss other points of view. You don't even want to hear it. She's working for this public radio station, comes out with this point of view that's decidedly pro-Iraqi war, starts to take all of this crap from these stupid people calling the show. And when I say stupid, oh my God, they're the worst kind of stupid. They're people who think they're smart. They'll tell you about the degrees they have, and they'll tell you that they're Muslim, or they'll tell you that they're, Methodist, or they'll tell you that they're big and short and small, and they've been around the block. And while she's trying to be very polite with these people, they're mean, nasty, and insulting. And then she gets off the air, and what has she got to deal with? She's got to deal with the dumbasses that run the station who don't want to have any problems. They don't want to have any problems, because this is National Public Radio, and their listeners are in love with them. And they just want to have just an open discussion. There's no open discussion at public radio. None. Why am I on this kick anyway? Oh, yeah, this guy that got canned. I think in the middle of all of this FCC discussion about consolidation, somebody ought to look into NPR. Why don't you look into that? FCC regulates them. They regulate the frequency they're on. They regulate everything. They regulate the power. Why don't you look into those guys, man? What exactly are they doing with that money that they're asking the public for? Every day they're on the air, they're asking for some dough, man. I sure ain't putting it into the programming, we know that. They ain't putting it into the signal strength of the radio station. What are you guys putting your money into? They got full-time employees over there. They got people that are drawing salaries, and yet they pay the air talent $5 an hour. What's that about? Huh? And how is it that you guys don't give an announcer the freedom to express a point of view, and you don't have any commercial concerns, you don't have any advertisers, all you got is some little old ladies stuffing $5 bills into envelopes? What makes them any more special than some guy that runs a, you know, like Earl Scheib or anybody else that runs a business that's sponsoring a radio station? You guys are full of it over there at NPR, and you too, Pacifica. Phony, God, are you phony as the day is long. I want to talk about commercial radio and how everything is just copacetic, baby, over there on National Public Radio, because, after all, it's where thousands work so hundreds can listen. And they're intelligent, and they have these wonderful discussions, and they ain't got a discussion of anything. They got a point of view that they pitch just as much as anybody else. Maybe I'm just a little cantankerous because the other day was my wife's last day on the job, and, you know, I thought she did a very good job for them, this friend of mine. And she would come home near tears, talking about the unbelievable manure she had to wade through, listening to these phonies over there, talking about how they needed to keep their audience happy, they needed to have a nice free exchange of ideas, and oh yeah, please don't express your point of view if it pisses off some old lady cramming a $5 bill into an envelope that she was going to send to Oral Roberts, but maybe she'll send it to us. What's the difference between some guy that's pounding the street for bread, who's got a tent and he's handling snakes and he's like into religion, and NPR? What's the difference? What's the difference between Jimmy Swaggart and I don't even keep up on these cats anymore. Who's new on the hit parade, man? What are that? No, is that No Neck guy from Ohio still out there? Ernest Ainsley? Who are the big names? Benny Hinn? How about Benny Hanna? Isn't he into preaching now since he isn't in the restaurant business anymore? Those guys are out pounding for money, right? They'll go out and pound it for dough. Paul Crouch and his wife Janet Crouch. See? What's the difference between those guys and NPR? There isn't any difference. They're just a bunch of clowns standing up there with pink sprayed hair, and they're just doing an act. They're doing an act representing some phony point of view, and it's all for the entertainment of the listening audience. I'd rather give my money to that Paul Crouch guy. At least the wife's got the hair that's, you know, she looks like she landed on saucer number 6. She looks like she was Plan 9 from outer space. I love her. I am thoroughly entertained by Jan and Paul Crouch. NPR, man, I would put that on if I needed to put myself to sleep for about 100 years. Say, like a space flight to Mars. If I wanted to go visit Jan Crouch, the only thing I'd use NPR for was to put myself in a coma so I could sleep long enough to see her on Mars someday. And let me just say something else that I haven't said. NPR's full of it. But plus, if I give her $5, she'll give me a good cry. Not to mention... Yeah, you give her $5, she's bawling her eyes out. I love that. I am thoroughly and 100% entertained by it. I love it. Love it. I love it no end. For $5, how do you beat that? $5, you get her bawling, him sitting there with that sequin sports jacket, and they're up on that elevated stage, and then they go off there to the Dobler twins for a little, oh, well, I'm going down to Jesus, or whatever the hell they do. They go to the barbershop quartet, then they'll head on over here to Eddie, the midget, and see what the total looks like. It's great. Well, what do I get from NPR? Some cat anchoring the morning news with a speech impediment. That's thank you. Thank you. I really like that. I got Jimmy Swaggart'll ball. He goes out, he has a hooker out in Indio, then he cries. It's great entertainment. It's worth every nickel. He goes out to Indio. Remember that? I'm still getting mileage out of that. I saw Jimmy on TV the other day. He looks like he's got lockjaw or something. There's something wrong with his face. It's begun to sag over to the left. He's, I'll tell you right now that I want people. What does he remind? It's like Marlon Brando almost.
My people, everything is copacetic.
I don't know what it's just... He's great. I was watching him and another guy. Then I got to flip it over to NPR and I ain't getting nothing for my bucks. Nothing. I want more. Hey, our website is on the internet. You ever heard of it? Al Gore invented it, which I personally believe. www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. Check it out, man. Get your Father's Day gifts there, okay? You need not go anywhere else. We got the Bobby Dooley's Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. By the way, we got a flashback of Bobby from, I think it was on Tuesday, talking about, what was she talking about on Tuesdays? Oh, the graduation parties. We also have attorney Rich Slauson, and Janice was kidding me about that. She said, you won't be able to say it. I said, oh, shut up. But she's right. Rich Slauson is going to be with us. He is a criminal defense attorney. He has some incredible insights on the Lacey Peterson case. We're also going to be discussing more on that case as well. And other stuff coming up on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I got a list here of the worst cars if you're involved in an automobile accident. And I got a little piece of dung that I pulled off the internet. No, it's just a little bit of information, just because I'm sadistic and I want to know what happened. You remember that hazing thing in Chicago? And everybody's done with it, and they're over it. Well, I'm not, because I'm sadistic, and I love to see upper middle class people cook if they deserve it. Why? Because I got a problem with the rich? No, I don't have a problem with the rich. I don't have a problem with them at all. What I do have a problem with is entitlement and an assumed innocence based upon economic ability. I mean, seriously, if you've got certain bread in a certain position, sometimes they just figure, oh, well, you know, we'll let you pass. They do. As much as cops and DAs will tell you they don't, they do. That's why this DA in Cook County in Chicago is kind of a unique guy. Because everybody was all sweating these rich kids that were slinging crap on each other. Who cares? And about the kids. Kids are going to throw crap on each other. In fact, I think they're not healthy if they don't throw crap on each other. I don't even think a kid's healthy if he doesn't, you know, show an interest in drinking beer every now and again. But then they had these two parents, right? Okay. Well, I'm looking at the internet, and I find out that one of the women that was arrested, this Marcy Spiewak woman, she was arrested for allowing her home to be used a week before she was arrested. Because she's got the big fat mouth and she wants to talk to a reporter, she had gone to a viewing of the videotape of the kids slinging crap on each other. And she was quoted by a writer who was interviewing parents who were there. And she said, well, nothing really happened. Where's the quote? Oh, yeah. In an interview on May the 12th, they said, you know, I pulled something off the internet. I don't know where it is now. I pulled it off. It's not here. Anyway, what she said was, I don't think there's any harm in the alcohol. I don't think there's any harm in that. It's pretty ridiculous. But my daughter did this before, and there was always beer. In other words, she's running her big fat mouth, and in about a week, the cops have got an arrest warrant out for her. You know, just because they put a microphone in front of your face, baby, doesn't mean you got to swallow it, you know? Now, on to the safest cars in a crash. Actually, the worst cars in a crash. This is a list, the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety. I don't know. By the way, I don't even know why I got into that whole Marcy Spiewak thing. I thought I had... What happened to the article that I had? No, I mean, here's the... I had a whole article that I printed off. A whole thing that I printed off, a whole article, and never made it in here. It never made it into the thing. I think I'm going to have a fit. Okay, worst cars. This is in a crash. You don't want to be in one of these if you crash. Because if you do, maybe there's a chance you'll get cooked alive inside of the thing. The 2001... through 2003 Hyundai Elantra. Anybody driving one of those right now? Anybody sailing down the freeway in one of those? The 1998-2003 Kia, the Cefia Spectra, and the 2000-2003 Dodge Neon. And if you've ever driven a Dodge Neon, you know what I mean. If you've ever driven a Dodge Neon, man, you've driven a Dodge Neon. Now the midsize four-door. What do you think's the least safe? You got it. The 99 through 2003 Pontiac Grand Am. one of the favorite cars of young men everywhere, the Pontiac Grand Am. And Pelton's looking at me with a look like, really? This is your favorite car. The 1999 through 2003 Oldsmobile Alero, the 95 through 2003 Chevrolet Cavalier, and the 95 through 2002 Pontiac Sunfire. Now, I don't know what they mean by unsafe. I could look into it, I'm sorry, but I didn't. I just thought I'd come on and start casting aspersions on these cars. But what do they mean by unsafe? What do they mean by unsafe? In other words, it doesn't have a particular ratio down to the centimeter that it should have that may or may not affect your ability to drive the car. Is it because the most retarded human being on Earth would wind up dying in one if they tried to drive it, therefore it's unsafe for all of us? What do they mean by unsafe? Is it a standard that is so exacting? Is it a standard that is so absolutely exacting that the least of us would be hurt in the car, and so therefore it's a standard that we all need to abide by? For instance, child-proof bottles are necessitated because some children had OD'd on tablets of aspirin or what have you. You and I might have gone through our entire childhood not dumping aspirin into our faces. But because one or two dumb little kids did it, now they have child-proof caps. And if a cap is not on, a child-proof cap is not on a bottle of aspirin, does that make that bottle unsafe? See what I'm saying? No, it doesn't make it unsafe. It makes it unsafe for a dumbass, yeah. So that's what I'm asking. Are the standards that the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, are the standards that they're talking about here standards for the basic dumbass in American society? Like you or I might be able to get into a 2001, 2003 Hyundai Elantra and have a perfectly wonderful time driving it across country, from L.A. to New York and back again. But because Goober down here, every time he tries to put gas into his car, he winds up burning six city blocks. Because he can't seem to find his ass with both hands, that means that car is unsafe, because Goob wound up blowing himself up in one day. Now you know what I'm talking about, right? I get into a 2000, 2001, whatever the hell this thing is, a Hyundai Elantra. Just the name Hyundai alone sends a shiver up my spine. But anyway, I get into it, I drive away. Goober gets into it, and it explodes. It just explodes and burns. It burns him to death. And what did he do? All he did was put the key in the ignition. He did everything that I did, but he's so stupid, the car blew up. Now, you don't know what I mean, do you? You do? All right. Our CD is at www.philhenryshow.com. Be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Well, we found out today what we probably suspected all along, that the Petersons and the Rocas, they hate each other's guts. Or more to the point, the Petersons ain't too well liked by hardly anybody these days. That is, that Scott Peterson's mother, boy, she's a piece of work. Now, did you hear the latest? Because you ain't going to believe this. Lacey Peterson's mother allegedly got permission to visit her former in-law yesterday from her former in-laws to visit her daughter's house and to get some personal belongings. They've been fighting back and forth about who got to have access to the house. Now, the New York Daily News says she got permission. Other people are saying she just went in there without permission. Nonetheless, the woman went into the home of her dead daughter to collect some personal things, to look, as is often the case with people who lose a loved one, to look at the last habitat of the person that they love, to sit in a chair, whatever. Well, Peterson's attorneys made a big thing out of this. They may be planting evidence. They may be doing this. They may be doing that. Well, guess who was in there recently cleaning the place? Guess who had access to the house and was allowed to be in there cleaning it? And when I mean cleaning it, I do mean cleaning it. If you get my drift. That old lady, Jackie Peterson, Scott's mother. Now, if you think I'm being unkind to an old woman, this is the woman who was had no problem opening her mouth to reporters early on, saying that the Modesto cops were a bunch of screw-ups, the DAs were a bunch of screw-ups, that she lived in a place like Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia, and this was completely bungled. She had no problem casting aspersions and denigrating the reputation of all kinds of people. Then her son gets arrested, and the guy's got to apply for a public defender because his mother and father are too cheap. The ones that were defending him, the ones that thought he was just their fair-haired boy, the ones that got a couple of bucks stashed down there in San Diego, all of a sudden they're too cheap to get him an attorney. And on and on and on and on. Then, when he was finally arraigned, this Jackie Peterson reaches out and hugs Sharon Rocha, the mother of Lacey Peterson, as if the two women are sharing some common grief. As if there's some commonality between what these two women are going through. Now I'm going to tell you this, and just get it, and get it good. That little baby was found, allegedly with some kind of a trauma, a scar, a gash of some kind, and some tape wrapped around his neck. Now, how do we know this? Because MSNBC paid somebody off in either the coroner's office or the DA's office to get the information. It might have been leaked by the Petersons, too. Who knows what? It might have been leaked by the Petersons' attorneys, which it's very common for scumbag, I mean for attorneys, to sometimes leak information. And as we all know, this guy Mark Garagos, this is his last time at bat. I mentioned this earlier. This is his last time at bat. He's been sitting there with the big puffy face on Fox and commenting on different things. What was the story? What was the last big legal thing? Wasn't it the Peterson thing? He was there, and, you know, whenever you see a lawyer on television, they're doing one of two things: auditioning for a job on that TV network or trying to drum up work. And I shouldn't single out lawyers. Whenever you see anybody in a roundtable discussion on Fox or CNN or any of the news channels, like, we have now Bob Blown, top show host from Denver. Bob, how are you? Real good, Bill. And we're going to talk now with Dr. Erica Spivey, and she is an analogist. I didn't know that, so you're just looking up people's asses. That is correct. Okay. And we also have with us Dr. Mark Newman. And Mark, you are a specialist in cannabis sativa. Okay, great. And you're also the engineer on the Phil Hendry Show, isn't that right? Great. Great to have you with us, Mark. Well, let's just talk about, and then they begin a competition as to who's going to get the next open slot on the Fox television network. That's exactly what it is. Or they're, and that number again, 1-800, you can call me anytime, day or night. Well, we don't have enough time anymore. I just want to give out the address of my office. So that guy Garagos, as we have said before, but it really bears repeating, this is his last at bat. He's decided he's going to bite this one off, chew it, and swallow the whole thing. And if he gets constipation, if he gets blocked up for years, if he has to throw the whole thing up, he's going to chew it and swallow it, because this is his big shot. There are no other cases for Mark Garagos. There will be no other cases unless he wins this one. He's got to win this one. He blows this, he's done. He's trying to climb the big mountain called Johnny Cochran Mountain. Mount Johnny. He wants to scale Mount Johnny, baby. Oh, you're saying, what are you talking about, Phil? Oh, yeah. Remember Marcia Clark? You don't? That's my point. How about Christopher Darden? You don't? That's my point. And Marcia, by the way, if you're listening, which she like used to work for the LA affiliate we have here, she's a great gal, nice lady. I never really met her, but she looked okay. No, she's in, did a talk show, and she hosted Rick Dees' show once. I don't know what that was about, but in any event, remember when she was, she filled in for Rick Dees? What the hell? What is that? I'm Marcia Clark, and coming up, we have 50 Cent. But first, here's Ellen Kay. What the hell? So, you got to win this one, Mark, and you got to hit it out of the ballpark a long way, too, baby. I mean, you got to swing for center field on this one. And if you get this piece of crap off, this Scott Peterson, my hat's off to you, man. You're one of the guys breathing the rarefied air there at the top of the mountain up there in lawyer heaven, man. You are doing it to it, baby. And I know you guys are pulling out all the stops. You're pulling out the satanic cult stop. I like that. That's a nice thing. Got a nice ring to it, you know. A satanic cult. Maybe they cut the baby out of her. Oh, you mean the uterus was intact? Well, we can come up with another one. Hey, wait a second. You know, tape around the neck? They might have hung the child. Who knows? There's a mysterious brown van. Keep talking, baby. And make sure you have those guys that work for you. You know, the little underling lawyers? Because every time they say it's the big lawyer, you know, it's like 16 little lawyers. They all sit at the table with them. Have more of those guys go out to the house and act indignant and outraged when the mother of this murdered woman goes to just retrieve a few of this lady's belongings. And make sure you accuse her of planting evidence, because that'll really get the public on your side. Oh, yeah, one other thing, man. Be sure you keep repeating over and over again, we're looking for the real killer. You're going down the right path, baby. You really are. You're making all the right moves. Right now on Fox, I'm looking at the kisser of some criminal defense attorney, Geraldine Merritt. Man, is she animate. She's just, well, I'll tell you what. I mean, look at her face. She looks like she's selling, it's going to be great. It's like it's a pool party this week at the community center is what she's doing. And we're going to have a floral design and a fashion show and everything. All animate and bright. I bet you they got a producer back there saying, now when you get out there and you talk to Bobby, you know, the Bobby Sheen midday show, make sure you're really on top of it, okay? Because we don't dig anybody who's a dullard and a dull clod like that forensic cat we had on yesterday. You dig it? Oh, I hope I get the job. Yeah, you get the job, okay? And by the way, if you want any cases, I haven't really gone to trial. Oh, you're negotiating stuff out, huh? Like Tom Cruise in that crappy Rob Reiner movie? Yeah, oh, okay. I can dig it. So anyway, we'll get you in there. Start talking about a law stuff. Is that bra padded or is that? I don't want to get personal or anything. Just, you know, hey, Bob, shoot her from the neck up. All right, so, gonna get in there, baby. You're gonna look great. You're gonna look fantastic. Oh, I hope I do good. Yeah. And then Dr. Smolberg, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Jesus, what do we got here? Charles Lawton? Come on. What do you think this is, man? Dawn of the Dead? Now get in there. Bobby Schmoing is the host of the show, and he's a...
Who?
Bobby Schmoing. You know, he's the cat that does the show. He's going to ask you questions, and then he's going to have you, you know, you're going to answer the questions about this Peterson broad. You know what I'm saying?
I'll try, my...
Okay, great. Whew, man, look at the jowls on that guy. Where'd we dig him up? I don't know. We had to get in the yellow pages. All right. Let's get everybody in there, okay? And I want everyone to look good, look good. All right, 3, 2, 1, go to commercial. I'm sorry, we're not ready yet. Now, Liz Wheel, she's our Fox News legal analyst, okay? Fox News, repeat it.
Fox News,
legal analyst, good. All right, good. Now, Liz, she ain't never been a lawyer or anything, but we just call her our legal analyst, you know what I'm saying?
Why?
She got a few parking tickets. I don't know why. You'd have to ask the question. Every time we get the email, we just tell people, please check our website for more information. It's like Bill O'Reilly, okay? Where'd you find him? I don't know. We like face down in a gutter someplace. We rolled him over. We took the derby hat off of him and the big shoes. We said, look, Ringling Brothers isn't for you, man. We can make you a talk show host. You don't want to be slaving away, man, writing for the Harvard Legal Review, doing all those birthday parties for kids. Come on. What are you doing, writing a great American novel?
Well, I really feel strongly about the...
Oh, yeah, you feel strongly about stuff. Sure you do, baby. Come on over here to Fox. Sit down. Sit right down there on that big pole. Attaboy. Otherwise known as Rupert Murdoch. Okay. And now... So this guy, Garagos... He's got to swing for the fences on this one, because if you blow this one, baby, you are cooked, man, and I do mean well done. So make sure you insult the family of the murdered woman. Make sure you accuse them of planting evidence. In short, Mr. Garagos, make sure you accuse them of everything that you're already doing. And even if it lets a cold-blooded murderer loose on the streets of America, and I do mean Scott Peterson when I say that, sleep well. Because who knows, maybe, you know, in 10 years, Greta Van Susteren will have you on, and she'll do a retrospective on your illustrious career. She won't have to be talking to the trained ape there, Mike Tyson, about how he don't like that woman, or whatever the hell it was she was talking about.
You replay in your mind the trial.
Yeah, yeah, okay, that was it.
Oh, it's just a lying, reptilian, monstrous young lady.
That's a big word.
I hate her guts.
That's a big word.
She put me in that state where... I don't know. I really wish I did now. But now I really do want to rape her and her mama.
That cat is not as dumb as he sounds. I'm going to tell you that right now. I think he's innocent. I think Mike Tyson's innocent, not Scott Peterson. I think Mike Tyson is innocent. And on top of, and I ain't kidding either. I'm not kidding. And on top of that, I think Mike Tyson, compared to Scott Peterson, Mike Tyson is Albert Schweitzer. Compared to Scott Peterson, let's just understand what we're talking about. Compared to Scott Peterson, Mike Tyson is Tom Dooley. Ain't he the doctor that died of cancer? Mother Teresa. All the saints, all the great ones. Tim Robbins.
We'll be back to The Petersons on Trial. And now, forensic pathologist Dr. Leonard Goldberg. Dr. Goldberg?
I think the woman was at Planet Jesus.
Pick it up, Doc, will you? You hear the music, huh? Bubbles is on the runway. Go, baby, go. Well, I've never done forensic pathology analysis and in the middle of a strip show, so... Well, come on! Yeah, baby! Go ahead, do it. Anyway, the body was found. Come on, take it off! See, this is going to make it for us. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The Petersons denounced as... Well, I say the Petersons. The Rocas. The Rocas. The Rocas. That's the name of the family of Lacey Peterson. Peterson's the name of the Petersons. The family of Lacey Peterson, they denounced as incredibly insensitive the disclosure of sealed autopsy results indicating her unborn son had plastic tape wrapped around his neck and a significant cut across his shoulders. And... by the way, as I said, MSNBC was the first to report this, even though it had been sealed, meaning they didn't want it to leak out. And there's no doubt that one of two things happened. MSNBC practiced some checkbook journalism, which is probably not beneath them, paid off some intern or some slob in the coroner's office or the DA's office, some mealy-mouthed slob that needed a couple of bucks, or... the attorneys for Scott Peterson leaked it. Either way, you probably got a fine cabal and coven of slobs. By the way, Tom Dooley, he really did exist. 1927 to 1961, he was a humanitarian. He was a medical doctor in the United States Navy. He was a humanitarian. He established a bunch of hospitals for the Vietnamese. He cured leprosy. He cured malaria. He cured diphtheria. He established hospitals. He died from cancer in 1961. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, he was discharged from the Navy because he was gay. That's what America does. This guy is like one of the greatest men that ever lived. But by the way, you can't have your job in the Navy anymore because you're gay. Boy, thank God it's the 21st century, because that kind of dumbass ain't going to be. And when I say dumbass, I mean the guy that discharged this cat won't be around for long. Your days are numbered, dummy. The controversial theory that Lacey Peterson was waylaid by a lurking band of devil worshippers instead of her own husband, listen to this, picked up some support in the public arena Thursday. Well, naturally, in the public arena. Although law enforcement personnel have long been warned to greet talk of satanic cult murders with a healthy degree of skepticism. Now they're saying that this cut on the back of the baby and the tape around the neck is some satanic cult doing something, right? The more I think about it, the less I'm prone to believe that MSNBC paid off somebody to leak that document. I think the defense attorneys definitely leaked it. Definitely, without question, leaked it. First of all, here's what happened. The baby got something wrapped around his neck from debris. He was in the water for how many months? 5-6 months? 4 months? 3 months? 3 months! 3 months. Throw anything at a San Francisco Bay for 3 months and pull it out 3 months later. What do you think is going to be wrapped around it? How do you think it's going to look? They theorize, and it could be a boat propeller. He might have, the poor little guy's body might have been dragged along the bottom of the bay and scraped with a rock. Who knows? Tape getting wrapped around the neck or tape getting wrapped around the arms or anything might have been picked up, might have been debris. Period. Might have. That's exactly what it was. Here's what an FBI agent, by the way, says, who happens to be familiar with this stuff. God forbid we should confuse intelligent analysis with anything else. God forbid we should talk to a guy who knows what he's talking about, right? This is an FBI agent. His name is Kenneth Lanning, and he has done investigation of so-called satanic murders. The satanic murder should be denied or should be defined as one committed by two or more individuals who rationally plan the crime and whose primary motivation is to fulfill a prescribed satanic ritual, calling for murder, he said. By this definition, I have been unable to identify even one documented satanic murder in the United States. Although such murders may have and can occur, they appear to be few in number. But when you want to be the next Johnny Cochran, when you want to be bigger than Greta Van Susteren, bigger than Perry Mason, bigger than Matlock, bigger than all of them, man, you will, you know, you've got to sit on a big, big, tall stack of fertilizer, Jim. You really got to squeeze out some big ones. And you got to hold it in your hand, and you got to show it to everybody and say, look, diamonds. And hope they believe it. Now, if anybody can do it, maybe this Garagos guy can. I don't know. He doesn't look impressive to me. I mean, what do I know? I'm just a slob here on the radio, but I've been listening to him running his big fat mouth on Fox for I don't know how long about these different cases. He sounds like an idiot. He ain't very funny. He's not particularly intelligent sounding. I don't know what the hell. But you know what? The cat's got a high profile. He's got a very high public profile. So go for it. But I'm telling you right now what I've been telling you guys all along. This guy's, this psychopath Scott Peterson's the guy that did it. Take a look at that mother he's got, that Jackie, who had the big fat mouth going. Now all of a sudden they won't let Mrs. Rocha in the house to get her daughter's things. They've got a problem? There's bad blood between the families? Well, when did you figure that one out? Bad blood? The minute I found out that that kid might have had something to do with my kid dying, I wouldn't have anything to do with those people. And she's walking up hugging her like they have some shared common grief. Now, she's been running her big fat yap. She's been running down the cops and everybody else. She won't let the lady in to get her daughter's belongings. Hey, why don't you go have another suck on that oxygen? Just sit down and have a nice long suck, Jackie. Oops, what? What's in there? Nitrous oxide? All the better. Somebody pump a little of that nitrous in there, man. Give her a balloon or two. Put a smile on her face. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bobby Dooley coming up in just a moment with a flashback from our interview with her about a graduation party. I was just looking at this guy, O'Reilly. You know, when he's talking about politics, I guess it's okay. But this pervert has got on some girl. He's talking to her about a peeping Tom that was sticking his nose through a bedroom window while she was going to the bathroom or something. And he's on there all, now tell me more about it, my dear. What a perv. You ought to be reprimanded by your bosses at Fox, O'Reilly, you sick, twisted degenerate, talking about peeping Toms with some little luscious babe. Look at this guy. What's that got to do with anything, man? Why don't you get back to bagging on Democrats or whatever that is, that boring, dull crap you do, and keep the peeping Tom material to Jerry Seinfeld. He did it great on his show. When are they bringing that back? All that peeping, they got a new show on NBC this fall called Peeping Tom, and it's with Tom Arnold. It's going to be great. So what do we need to hear it from you, you pervert? You know, I always knew that guy O'Reilly was a pervert waiting to explode in full, sick, degenerate glory, and now I know. Because as in his mind he gets more popular, which of course it's all in his mind, but as in his mind he gets more popular, his sexual sickness begins to leak out. Until finally we realize he's just running around flashing everybody in the at Fox in the commissary there. Oh, here comes O'Reilly. Hi! Woohoo! Just talk about all the dull garbage you talk about. When you start getting young women on your show talking about peeping Toms, you look like the leering, lurid, dime store pervert that you are. In other news, Bobby Dooley was on our program, and she was talking about graduation party she had the other day for her son, Seth, or Dylan, or one of the kids that died, I forget who. And by the way, some girl OD'd in her pool, and a caller said, well, it's your responsibility, Bobby.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I disagree with Mrs. Dooley, and I think she is responsible for the woman OD'd in her pool, because as an adult, it is your responsibility when you invite children who are minors into your house to supervise them. It is not your job as an adult to party with them and to dance and to make yourself seem so cool. I have friends
whose
children like me too, but I know the line between being an adult and a mother and being responsible for that child than to be one of them. It is your job to be a parent, not your job to be their friend.
I agree, but
and
I can hear the jealousy in your voice.
If I were these parents in this town, I would say, to hell with the Dooleys. Let's organize our own party. Let's make it so good the kids won't even want to bother with the Dooleys.
You know something?
And if I were you,
because
if you're
very
concerned about these kids and you don't want to supervise these children and you want to party with them and dance and be one of them, then you should invite the other parents over to supervise, to do what you and your husband should be doing, rather than partying and pretending.
Well,
pretending you're a 16-year-old. You're a 16-year-old.
Listen to your jealousy. Just because you're not as cool in their eyes as I am.
Hey, listen, I am as cool in their eyes as you are, lady.
Well, I don't think so.
Listen, I am as cool in their eyes because...
Well, then why are you so jealous?
A lot with them. I play sports with them.
Why are you so jealous?
We go hiking. We go...
Well, wait a minute.
We do all kinds of things without having for me to act like them. I don't have to act like them to be cool like
them. Can I go out on a limb, Nancy? I can see that you're a little green from here. Nobody danced with poor little fat Nancy when you were in high school.
Hey, listen, lady, I was the homecoming queen, and I was a cheerleader, so you don't have a clue
as to what you're talking about. You were the homecoming queen at what, the School for the Blind? Because
I was the homecoming queen for a very popular school, lady.
You are
in denial.
In denial.
You are in denial. You're a 40-year-old woman who's trying to act like a teenager. Grow up. Get a life. Be the adult you're supposed to be.
All right.
The kids are looking to you as a role model, not to be their friend.
And
they're coming over to your house. You know why? You know why they're coming over to your house? They're coming over to your house because you don't supervise them and you let them get away with whatever they want to do. That's why the girl OD'd. If she was at my house, she'd be having fun. But I tell you what, if I caught drugs in their pocket or alcohol on their breath, their parents would have been notified immediately.
Well, that's why you're not as cool.
There would have been nobody ODing in my pool.
And no one's going to rat them out.
Nobody ODing in my pool.
Well, I'll tell you this much.
No way.
I'm very with it, and I can talk
to
the kids.
So am I, lady.
And I talk to them about things like boys and
fashion. And so are a lot of friends of mine.
Being with it is one thing, but when a child comes to your home high on a drug...
why did the parents let her out?
You should be able to recognize that.
Look, Nancy, when the kids come to your home and they're looking at your prom queen films, they'll be at my house dancing.
Well, I think part of being an adult is being able...
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, there are a lot of ways to get noticed in this world. One of them is, for instance, to go into a mall and kill people. Then people will remember you for a few minutes that you were the dirtbag that went into that mall and shot people up. Another way to get noticed is to go out and do good things, benefit mankind. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily mean you got to cure a disease. You can just start a business. You can employ people. You can be a good father, a good mother. That's another way of getting noticed. But probably one of the better ways and the quickest way to be somebody without killing someone or without starting a really profitable and good business that helps people, one of the quickest ways to be somebody is, you guessed it, starting a religion. And what's this guy's name? Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston are over in Israel with the Black Hebrews. Now, I'm not singling them out because, as far as I'm concerned, every religion, it doesn't really deserve... I don't know how to put this. Let me put this as gently as I can. I think every religion in a way is funny. It's humorous. It's just humorous to me, that's all. I would never in a million years tell somebody they don't have the right to practice their religion. Never. If the world was run by Phil Henry, there would be free religion for everybody. You know, everybody could go into the mosque, they could bang gongs, they could bark at the moon, do whatever they do. Stand on their heads, look at their rear ends, contemplate their butts, whatever they do. But I reserve the right to be amused by it all. It's amusing. It's amusing. The other thing that's really amusing is how seriously they take it when they see that you're laughing at them. Like, for instance, some of the Muslims or Christians. Muslims and Christians are the same side of the coin, or they're two different sides of the same coin. Because if you laugh at them, they tend to get violent. Because they're so stupid looking and goofy with their little religious traditions. But if you laugh at them and say, boy, what a bunch of clowns you are, they get violent. Christians, not so much anymore. They kind of cooled it out because they've come up in rather progressive societies and they're getting the drift that, you know, you're just going to have to sit there and take it a little bit, baby. If you want to go into your church on Sunday, that's fine. You're going to have to take a little heat. The Muslims, they're not used to that. They've never been in a society where there's been any free religion or free expression of beliefs. So naturally, when you laugh at them with their veils and their turbans, they get all upset. But I reserve the right to laugh at them anyway. Now we have people who believe that there's a spaceship inside the ass of a comet that's going to come down and take you, but only if you're wearing purple sneakers. And we have religions that say you should bury yourself on the side of a hill in Montana and wait for the grand wizard of eternal gas to land and suck you up into his lower colon, or whatever your belief is, that's fine. We have now the Black Hebrews. Well, what are they all about? Guess what? Some cat started it. What's his name? Ben Ami. See, I got this list. Now, this is what Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston went down to Israel, which ordinarily I wouldn't pay any attention to what they do. Not that I don't like them, but I just, you know, who cares, right? Every time they're in the news, either he's beating her up or getting arrested for some drug charge. But now they're down there in Israel, and maybe they're trying to get their lives together. Who knows? They're members of the Black Hebrew religion, which I can only believe is like you're Hebrew and you're black. Am I right about that? Or can you be white and be in the Black Hebrews? You can't? No, Mr. Henry, this is entirely for my people. I hope you understand this is only for African Americans and African people. And, well, okay, I thought that maybe... No. We have our own particular problems that the white man cannot address. And maybe someday, when things are different and our people can come together, that'll be a new day. But until then, the black man, the black woman have got to put themselves first. I hope you understand, sir.
Yes, I certainly do.
Now, just make the check out to Ben Ami. There you go. $250. Thank you. As for the White Person's Guilt Fund, thank you. And here is your official Friend of the Negro Race button. All right, thank you, and get out. Thank you. Starting a religion's a cool idea. I would dig to start a religion. Because anybody who's nobody suddenly becomes something else, man. Now, I'll give you an example. The Nation of Islam is a perversion of Islam. It's an American bastardized version of the Islamic faith. It's got some bizarre beliefs, one of which has to do with how the white man was synthesized from, swimming pool toads or something, and it's a lot of screwy stuff. The guy that started it is this cat from way back in the... Not Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad learned from the dude that started it. And the cat who started it was like a con man from Boston or something named Shorty Schwartz. Seriously, I swear to God. I read the book on Elijah Muhammad. I forget his name. But the guy was like a con man. The guy that started is just some con man. He was going door to door trying to collect for the Boy Scouts. That didn't work. Then he tried selling floor sweepers. That didn't work. Then he went out and he tried to market some strawberry jello. That didn't work. Then he got a job boxing groceries over at Vaughn's. That's, you know, sucked. And then finally he came up with some screwy religious idea, got a couple of guys hooked on it. He goes, hey, maybe I got something. Then he went into professional wrestling. That wasn't cool. Then he went back to the religion thing. Went back to that. Then he went into, he had his own hair salon for a while. He finally went into the Nation of Islam full time, because that's the only thing that was bringing in the regular coin, the regular bling bling on a regular basis. What's the guy down there that cut his own thing off? The guy with the purple pants and the spaceship? Marshall Applewhite, Applejoy? Is he still alive or did he blow his brains out? Yeah, he's dead. He sucked down some of that Kool-Aid when the Martians didn't pick him up. Now, here's a guy. What was he? He was repairing television sets, wasn't he? Or is it that other guy with that Aryan resistance? That's the guy. The guy that thinks all white people have been put upon. What's his name? Metzger. What's he do for a living? He repairs television sets. I'm not putting it down. What I'm telling you is this. People who feel lost, as if swallowed up in the larger river of life that will never be noticed, maybe never really make their mark, suddenly they're a big man when they start a religion or an organization. Farhad Mohammed, that's the name of the guy that started Nation of Islam. Now, his real name, Chris, look it up. I swear to God, is something like Lefty O'Doul or Morty Weisenberg. It's just a regular cat's name. Farhad Mohammed. Yeah, okay. That's great, man. Why don't I just call myself, why don't I call myself the Lucky Charms Leprechaun, too, while I'm on the subject? I think I'm going to come up with a nice Celtic name for myself. Call myself Sinead. I know, Sinead O'Connor. Oh, you mean it's taken? So you can be anybody that you want to be if you can start a religion. Now, most religions want to be taken seriously. Some religions, like the Church of the Subgenius, the Church of Bob down in Dallas, that's a goof. But they're all goofy. If you stop and you walk into a Catholic mass and you look at it as a journalist, as an anthropologist, and not as a participant, you realize you're looking at a grand ritual that was instituted by these very strange humans. And it includes eating a piece of bread and drinking some wine, and a guy puts on a colored robe, and people play bongo drums. You walk into a Baptist religious service. It's the same thing. It looks a little odd, especially when they're dipping you backwards into the water. You're going, what the hell? Just once, I'd like them to keep them down there for a while. And I now baptize you. So that's what Whitney and Bobby Brown are doing. They're in some screwball organization called the Black Hebrews. And here's what they believe. They believe, number one, you got to pray toward land. Okay, so pray toward land. Don't, if you're out at sea, you're dead. You're going to hell. You'll burn if you're on a fishing trip. If you're out fishing for marlin and you need to pray, you're going to burn. Because there ain't no land you can, you can pray toward it, I guess. Support National Vegan Day. Prepare more meals at home. Abstain from smoking cigarettes. Learn to make naturally fermented wine sweetened with honey. Keep cycles of abstinence and dedication. Avoid sexual activities during a woman's menstrual cycle. All of those sound reasonable to me. A challenge to immodest dress. Begin to wear creative styles of dress that come below the knee. Parents, get back involved in the decision process for your children. Research the origin of Christmas. And research the biblical Holy High Days. And then read the Resurrection series written by Ben Ami. Well, there you go. That's how they make their money. You got to read the founder's stuff. The real name of this cat that started Islam was Wally Farhad. I told you. What did I tell you? It's actually Ford. And he changed it to Fard. And then he changed it to Fart. And then they said, that ain't funny. He said, all right. Then he changed it to Farhad. Wally Farhad of Wally Farhad Ford.
Hi, buddy. Wally Farhad. Wally Farhad Ford. Come on down now. We've got a great deal.
And he wasn't selling any Ford. So he said, all right, screw it. I'm starting Islam. You're going to what? I'm getting out of the car business. And I'm going to become a turbine winder. Now what are you talking about? Is this another scam? Look, I want to start making some money, man. I can go downtown here. All these cats, their lives suck. They're going to start laying some money on me. Come on, you come with me, too. I want to sell some cars. You ain't going to sell any cars. We're going downtown. What do you mean we're going to be a turbine winder? Look, I read it all in this book here. See? Koran, right? Yeah. That's the religion, man. The black man had that religion. And we got ripped off and taken to America. Now what we're going to do is we're going to rip it all off, twist it around, screw it up, and make it like a version of Islam so that it makes us rich. See what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, why do I got to explain anything? You are an idiot. Now, come on with me, Farrakhan. Yes, sir. That was pretty cool what I just did. I hope it wasn't just lost in the airwaves. That was what I just gave you, a primer on the birth of the Nation of Islam, which if you've noticed, I'm not a big fan of, and you probably, those of you who are African-American, are nodding your heads and saying, well, that's because you're white. I guess maybe you're right. I won't argue with you, but I have investigated that particular organization, and while I believe that Islam is a wonderful faith, I think anybody who joins Nation of Islam is a seriously misled human being. Seriously misled. But you know what? It's none of my business. It's none of my business. Do what you need to do. I was a huge fan of Malcolm X's. I realize he rejected the Nation for a lot of good reasons, but it's none of my business. But I do reserve the right to make fun of it when I feel like it. That's just going to be how it is. Now I must break. I have to go. Make money. I be back. Phil Henry.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
In other news, Star Jones, one of the judges on American Idol, says some people aren't feeling kindly to Ruben, the winner of American Idol 2, or to her for supporting him. The co-host of The View says it's gotten so bad she's getting hate email from people who don't care for the fact that she's been giving Ruben props on the air. She told her TV audience she's been getting emails saying vicious things like, quote, take Reuben and go back to Africa, end quote. Well, Miss Jones, the reason why I sent that email is because I just feel that in many ways, I think it was one-sided, and I think the recount thing is wrong. I apologize for what may appear to be a racist email, but I didn't mean it that way. It was just a joke, and I like fat women.
Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Lacey Peterson murder trial, of course, will begin. Scott Peterson on trial for the murder of his wife. We have Rich Slauson on the line. He is a local criminal attorney. He, among his many cases, he defended William Lee Mike, who was accused of multiple homicide out in Pasadena, the Jeffers case. And, Rich, we thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Scott Peterson right now is in a jail cell, but the autopsy report on his wife and unborn son have been made public. What do you make of this? What do you think is the culpability of the defense in this?
Phil, the number one thing I think what we want to do, and let me talk to you about this, because we need to take a look at the fact that Scott Peterson's wife and his unborn son, the autopsy report on these people, has been made public and is used, I think, as a way to torture this man while he's since waiting for his trial. You're not a father, Phil, but I can tell you that there is nothing worse than to know that your wife, your unborn child, their autopsies are being made public. This is a man who is already probably at the end of his rope, and now to have this stuff out in the open, I think we've got a moral and a legal question. Number one, and let me walk you through this. Number one, legally, the Constitution of the Eighth Amendment tells us that excessive bail shall not be required, nor cruel and unusual punishment. And I think it is very cruel and very unusual to subject a man to the details, the gruesome details of the autopsy of his wife and unborn child. I think that's number one. Number two, I think it's morally repugnant that a man has to sit and read this stuff or watch it on television while he is in jail and can do nothing about it.
Rich, but understand, the man is accused. This man is accused of murdering that wife and son. The people that you're talking about.
No, I understand that. I totally understand. It may well be that a jury holds for the prosecution. But what I'm concerned with here is that the law be observed and that Scott is right now under suicide watch. Understand what this man has gone through. He's lost the love of his wife and his unborn son, which is the most devastating thing that can happen to any man. He's lost the love of a woman that could have been good for him. This is Amber Fry, a woman who may have been a big part of his future. She's gone. The Rocas, which is the dead wife's family, have shunned him. The very people he needs to support him now, the horrifying details of what actually happens to the wife and son, I think it can be interpreted as a violation of the Eighth Amendment, to which is cruel and unusual punishment.
And the cruelty's what? The cruelty...
Well, ask any father out there.
But again, I have to say, he may have killed these people.
I understand that, but ask any father out there what it would feel like to hear that the post-mortem on a dead baby that was his, or the post-mortem on a dead woman that he was married to. This is torture, and it's not only torture, it's agony. Of course, I think it would make the prosecution case very, very flimsy. That's my opinion.
All right, we're talking with Rich Lawson. So you say the release of this autopsy is torturing Scott Peterson, and it may be cruel and unusual.
Look, I'm trying to set the table for you here. Let's put out the meat and potatoes of the situation, Phil. What I'm saying is...
Well, Mr. Slauson, is torture to hear the details of a baby or a woman's death when you were the cause of their death? Is that torture?
It's a great question, and one that is impossible to answer unless we're in Scott's shoes. But I can take your hand for a moment. I would like to lead you into some insight into what it might feel like. I can tell you, I can well imagine sitting with Scott when they come and say they found the baby and the wife, and you can well imagine the tears and the agony knowing that your wife and baby were floating in the cold waters of San Francisco Bay. And any man would tell you who has children. See, Phil, you're a stepfather, but Scott was an expectant father. And this is different. Scott loved the baby, but as a stepfather, you can't really love your children the way regular people do. And imagine how he felt knowing this child was growing in the wife's stomach, and he was waiting for the day when the baby came out for the first time. And can you imagine, as for the first glimpse you get of the baby and that the wife was having, that it's the kid is in a plastic bag marked evidence? And wait till they bring the bag out in court to see if anyone recognizes it, to make sure it's actually Scott's baby.
Look, I don't presume to know what a bereaved parent feels like, but if Scott is guilty of having murdered the very woman and baby that we're talking about, it's hard for me to imagine him being tortured to death by the details of their death.
He may have done it, but that's not what we're talking about. I want to go from talking about his so-called guilt to the torture chamber they're keeping him in. Walking by his cell, casually dropping information to him on the autopsy. You don't do that to a husband and father. And I'm afraid it's going to do something to him. It could kill him. And that's what we're up against. We're up against a timetable. Scott may take his own life, and his blood is going to be on all of our hands. And that's the thing I'm worried about.
All right, Rich Slauson, a criminal attorney, is with us. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. As we all hear the details of the autopsy of Lacey Peterson and the autopsy of her unborn child, Mr. Slauson is also saying that Scott Peterson is hearing these details and that it's cruel and unusual punishment to subject him to this.
Well, we can't walk in this fella's shoes, sir. All we can do is try to put on his shirt for a moment. And what we're trying to say, I think he needs to be moved to a rehab center where he can begin counseling. And I think with enough brief counseling, Scott may be able to become well enough to rejoin society, and we might not have to try him. I'm not saying that will happen, but I'm saying it's a very, very good possibility. But you've got a man here who's lost his wife, he's lost his baby, he's lost his home, he's lost a woman who he was going to start a new future with, Amber Fry. You're telling him about the gruesome details. Hey, Scott, we found your wife and kid floating in the bay. What do you think of this? The kid had tape wrapped around his...
Well, you don't know for a fact that they're doing that.
I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't put it past them to say, hey, we found your baby. He had tape wrapped around his neck. And we found the wife, and she is dead. And try to torture him to death with the details of a wife and a baby's death that he loved very much. And
wait. The man is on trial.
I understand that, Phil, and he may well have killed him. But the fact is, she's the wife, and the little unborn baby was his son. And now you're going to tell this man how they died? I feel that the state is overstepping its bounds right now. I think it's attempting to torture Scott Peterson to death. Why do we want to put a man like this on trial? Why can't we try rehab? Why can't we?
Because the guy's got to be tried.
But he is in a very delicate mental state right now.
Well, what would you suggest? You got to try a man for murder. If the man's guilty of murder, you got to try him.
Phil, because of the prosecution releasing, or the defense releasing the details of his autopsy, Scott Peterson is now having to listen to this, and I don't think he's in any shape. I think we ought to try rehab. I think we ought to try to reconstruct this man. I think trial is all wrong. I think they're going up the wrong road with this. I don't think you want to put this man on trial. I think what you want to do is try 6 months in the best institution they can find with intensive counseling. And I think you're going to see a different man walk out of there, and you may not have to try Scott Peterson for murder. But to start dropping the details of the autopsy and make him even more emotionally unstable, I think, is wrong.
All right, so you are suggesting that Scott Peterson be counseled and put into rehab for 6 months, and we may not need a trial?
I'm saying we may not. I don't know for sure. But look what the man's being put through right now. Nobody's trying to help him. Everyone is trying to make him worse. And by saying, Mr. Peterson, we found your unborn baby with tape wrapped around its throat. Mr. Peterson, we found your unborn baby with a gash across its face. Mr. Peterson, we found your dead wife with no head. How do you think that's going to make him feel? These were two people that were very important to him.
Again, though, Mr. Slauson, we're saying that...
I know that he's accused of murdering them.
Yes, he's accused of murdering them. You're putting it to me as if the man is...
I'm putting it to you this way. I'm saying he may have been responsible for their murder. But still, it isn't right to be doing this to him.
So 6 months in rehab... And
6 months in rehab, 6 months in the best facility we can find, and he may not need to go to trial. We may be able to settle this thing without putting anybody through any more problems. I think it's unfair to torture this man the way they are.
Scott Peterson, he's being tortured by the release of details of the death of his wife and his baby. And it may be a violation of the Eighth Amendment against cruel and unusual punishment. Possibly they should put the trial off for 6 months while he gets some counseling and perhaps some rehab. Do you agree? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Or is the man simply as the perpetrator of this crime, incapable of these feelings? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm back with criminal attorney Rich Slauson. We're talking about Scott Peterson and the effect of these autopsy reports on him. Have you talked to him?
Phil, I have not talked to Scott. I know people who have. I know he's in not a very good frame of mind. He is very despondent. He saw the details of the autopsy on young Connor. He also saw the details of the autopsy on his wife. If you couple that with the fact that within the last few weeks he has learned that Amber is breaking it off with him. Essentially, she is abandoning him because she is now in the really in the clutches of this attorney, this Allred attorney. So he's lost a woman who could have supported him. He's found out now what happened to his son and his wife.
You're talking like a guy who thinks he's innocent.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
Well, you're saying, well, the guy just found out about this, the guy just found out about that. Is he innocent?
No, I'm saying he could have done it. I'm saying he might have done it. I'm just saying... Well,
if he might have done it, why would he be despondent about finding out the details of how they died?
You're not a father, Phil. You don't understand. When a man is to be a father for the first time and you feel the pride of that child coming into the world, even if you're responsible for its death, you feel proud that you are the father of it. And it's sad to know that it's dead. I think even as a stepfather, you would agree you'd be sad if your stepchildren died. Imagine how much worse it is for a man to know that his son is dead. How much more can be taken away from this man? His wife, his son, his girlfriend, his in-laws have disowned him. All of it gone. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Talking here with Rich Slauson, who is the criminal defense attorney. Here is Diane. Go ahead, Diane.
Rich, what is this, a big joke? He had an affair. His wife was 8.5 months pregnant. All he cared about was his girlfriend, I guess, Amber, and what was going to happen to him. Then there's evidence that he cleaned up his house. There was bleach, I guess, in his kitchen.
Oh, you don't clean your house?
Blood.
You don't clean your house?
I don't clean my house.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
if you don't,
I
do,
but not when my husband and my child are missing.
Some people clean their homes.
Well, bull. I can't say the rest of it.
Some people
then
clean
what
their
about
homes.
When he decided to take off with his blonde wig or his bleached blonde hair, his scads of money, his survival gear?
I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm not saying he did
do it. Then if you're saying that he did it and that he now is crying for a child and a woman that he actually, at his hands, murdered, you're a joke.
I think that the guy could be a suicide case.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? He would save the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars and we'd get rid of more scum because there's enough walking the earth already.
I think that this would be a tragic loss of human life.
Well, then maybe somebody should teach you. Maybe you didn't learn very much, Rich.
Are you a lawyer?
I should be, though, because apparently you don't do too good of a job of it.
So why don't you let me do the investigation and you can just clean your house, which you say you don't do. That would be a nice
project. Because apparently you're not doing a very good job to have sympathy. Or is it empathy? Maybe you killed a few people, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. No, I haven't killed anybody, but I can tell you what. I clean my bathtub occasionally. So I'll do the investigation, and you scrub out a toilet. How about that?
No, I don't think so. I think that may be a quarter of your attorney that charges 25 cents because anybody has more brains than you do.
This man was a brilliant fertilizer salesman. What do you do for a living?
You know what fertilizer is made from? That's who you are and your client.
Let me ask you something. What do you do for a living when you're not on your back?
What do I do for a living?
Yeah, when you're not on your back with your legs up in the air. What do you do?
All
right. Okay. Come on.
No, she started it.
Listen, you're a bum.
You know,
you know why you're a bum? Because you have to stoop to such a level.
I am
because you don't have the intellect to compete with anybody of my intellect.
Your intellect, you haven't showed me intellect. You don't even clean a toilet.
I gave you four good reasons.
What?
He has motive, and you said even if he did it, he could feel remorse.
He
feels remorse after he did it?
He feels horrible about that kid.
He feels horrible? Why don't you go into the jail with him and maybe you could console him?
Look, why don't you go watch Judge Judy and get a little more material?
If you had Judge Judy's brain, maybe you would be doing something better with your life than feeling
loved that
empathy,
child.
Not sympathy, and, empathy. I think maybe you killed a few people.
I want to jump in here and ask, if he loved his wife,
she hung up because she could suddenly smell her bathroom and she had to run in there and throw some bleach in the tub. But I can tell you, Phil.
Look, if you're going to get personal with people.
She got personal. She called me. She said I was full of crap. And what I'm trying to say to you is this. We have a tragic situation. We have a man sitting in a jail cell in Contra Costa County who is now hearing about his son, his unborn son with tape wrapped around his throat. How would you feel?
If I wrapped the tape around the kid's throat, I guess I'd feel pretty good.
Well, then you're not a father. You don't understand.
All right, so what you're telling me is that I'm a father, and even though I killed that kid, I'd feel bad about it.
It is a basic primal instinct. Even if you threw your own child into a bonfire, you would sit down and immediately feel bad about it. And I think that that's something to be admired. I think that's a basic instinct of love that should be admired. Thank God we have that.
Even if I threw my kid into a bonfire and I sit down and I feel bad about it, that's something to be admired?
I think it is. And I know that...
Mr. Slauson...
No, Mr. Enner, you are very cynical, along with a lot of your listeners, all right? I like to look on the bright side. I like to see what's good about this world. And Phil, I can tell you there's a lot good about this world. Scott Peterson, he can be a good thing if we give him 6 months of intensive therapy. And after that 6 months, let me tell you something. We may not need to try him. We may be able to send him back out into the world as a rehabilitated man.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Quintella?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I feel Scott Peterson, if he killed his family, he wasn't thinking about love when he did it. Okay?
When
he wrapped that thing around that little boy's neck, that didn't make him a father. That made him a maniac. He needs more than 6 months
in
jail.
How do you know he did that? And even if he did do it, why not give him rehabilitation, and in 6 months he could walk out lickety-split, clean as a baby's you-know-what, and we wouldn't have to put him on trial.
And get married to somebody else and kill them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how do you know he's not going to marry that Amber Fry?
He lost the love of his life in Amber Fry. Think of be Scott Peterson for a minute, Quintella. A man who doesn't have his baby, his wife, his girlfriend. I think he had about two girlfriends that he doesn't have anymore. And his in-laws. His job as a fertilizer salesman is way up in the air. I know of a wonderful rehab center in Malibu that Ben Affleck and Nick Nolte went to. 6 months there, and he's back at it. And we can all feel better. Hello?
All right, Quintella, you're gone? Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Gloria. Go ahead, Gloria.
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I'm addressing this to the lawyer.
This is Rick Slush, ma'am.
Addressing the issue that you're speaking about, you're feeling so much sympathy.
Yes.
For this person who we haven't proven that he's guilty.
Exactly.
But most likely, let's say that he has done it. Why do you feel so much sympathy for him instead of feeling sympathy for the victim? And why do you think that why should we rehabilitate somebody who is capable of such a crime?
Why
do you think that he's feeling remorse?
I think you're right. I'm
so sorry, but I really have concern with the lawyer that takes your standpoint.
I have sympathy for the lady and for the
let me say something that's always been in the back of my mind.
Yes,
looking at lawyers in general.
Yes.
Why do we play with a situation that is totally criminal? Why do you try to brainwash the public, repeating and even addressing yourself to the hostess, the host of the program, that he is not a father because he's a stepfather? That has nothing to do with anything.
Well,
he's a human being.
I would like to say this, Gloria. I think that Scott Peterson deserves our pity. He deserves our sympathy.
I have never called the program. I'm so upset, Gloria.
Gloria, hold the line, dear. Hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. Rich Slauson believes Scott Peterson has been subjected to undue torture by having to hear about the autopsy. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Right, we're back with Rich Slauson. Rich, where are you right now? At the Greyhound Terminal?
I'm at the Greyhound Terminal in downtown Los Angeles, Phil.
All right, because I can hear the announcements. 1-800-449-8686. Now, you're talking about Scott Peterson having to grieve the death of his wife and son, hearing these autopsy photos, and we're all saying, well, the guy's guilty.
He may be, Phil. But Scott was a father, and we have to remember that. Whether he's guilty or not, his feelings should be respected. And the thing that I find shocking, no one from Lacey's family has gone to help him grieve the loss of his son. And this trial, Phil, is going to turn into a dead baby circus, where they're going to bring the body of this child out in an evidence bag, hold it up, and say, is this your kid? And what are you going to, you and all your listeners going to say, Phil, when Scott says, no, it isn't?
Well, how would he know?
Because they looked for visual similarity.
No. Come on, Rich. Don't they? They've got DNA.
They have DNA. They also look for physical similarity as well. And one of the surest ways to know whether someone is related to another individual genetically is the first thing you look at is physical, visual, facial similarity. And they will bring the evidence bag. Now, the baby will be in an evidence bag on the table. And
Whoa. They have to process this baby through the morgue, don't they?
My understanding, the kid's evidence. So he goes into the evidence room.
You've got a human baby in a bag in an evidence room?
Unfortunately. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's horrible.
All right, let me go to Gloria, and we'll finish up with you, Gloria. I'm sorry we didn't have time for you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Gloria, go ahead.
Hello. Well, if this man is not a monster and he does have feelings, I agree with you. When he faces the reality of the crime that he has committed, it's going to be devastating for him, truly, definitely. But you should not be saying to people that he should be rehabilitated. If he has committed the crime, he should pay for it.
But what if we can make him squeaky clean, 6 months, Full return on your tax dollar. Guy comes out squeaky clean, goes on to be one of the best fertilizer salesmen in America.
No, I'm sorry. That doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. I mean, what about the family? What about the loss? What about the pain? The anguish that the family of this mother and unborn child is feeling. The mother,
ma'am,
you cannot turn somebody like that loose.
Well, ma'am, first of all, during the trial, Scott is going to have to deal with the exhibits that are on the evidence table. Exhibit A will be a fishing boat. Exhibit B will probably be the cement bag. And Exhibit C is going to be a baby in a plastic Ziploc bag.
Well, he created the scenery that you're describing.
Absolutely.
Was created by him.
Created by Scott Peterson.
So?
Created by him, but...
So, then you can go out there and kill seven people, and because you can be rehabilitated, so be it. I'm so sorry. The lawyer should not take that. Let's find out how to really solve a crime and how to really apply
the
punishment.
I would ask you this, Gloria. Do you dance? I bet you dance, don't you?
Pardon me?
Do you dance? I bet you dance. Do you like to dance?
Sometimes.
All right. Dancing in many ways is like prosecuting a murder trial. You get out on the floor, you feel the rhythm of the trial, and then you move, and I'm saying this in a figurative sense, you move your rear end to the rhythm of the trial. I think that Scott has got a beautiful opportunity here to show the whole court just how he feels about losing. He lost three girlfriends.
Too bad. He was married.
Think about it.
He already committed adultery. I'm so sorry. He's not a decent person.
Thank you, Gloria.
I don't feel sympathy for him.
Good point, Gloria. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Marge, go ahead.
Marge,
go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, I wanted to just say that I've never heard such asinine talk in my whole life from a lawyer. I mean, I think the man is either mentally ill or he's really putting on a big show.
Are you talking about me?
For some stupid reason.
You're talking about...
Either that or you're the biggest sleazebag I ever heard.
Because if I threw
a baby into a fire, listen to me, if I threw my baby into a fire and I sat down and cried, I think that says a lot for you. I should be shot.
I think it says a lot for you. What? I should be shot. I'm backing you up. And you're saying...
So we know that Scott Peterson... Now, we know what Scott Peterson allegedly killed his wife and baby. Allegedly. Because he hasn't been tried yet. So that's out of the question. We don't even say he's guilty or innocent. But if he turns out to be guilty... And he needs to take the punishment that's meted out to him and not go into this rehabilitation 6 months. It's the stupidest thing ever going on.
I'm saying to you, Marge, as an attorney, and I've been in the criminal prosecution business for 31 years. Now, please listen
to me. I never heard an attorney talk like the way you talk.
I can tell you I don't know if you know the Willie Lee Mike case, but this man was guilty of setting fire to an orphanage. And there were 30 children who were immolated alive. And I got that guy. He walked from that ramp. Yeah. Okay? So I know what I'm talking about. Now, imagine, if you will, Scott Peterson goes into a rehab center. 6 months of intensive rehab. He walks out as clean as a baby's you-know-what.
You know, that's the second time you've used that clean as a baby's you-know-what. I don't like that. I'm offended by that.
Why?
Because we're talking about a dead baby here. We're talking about a dead child.
Yeah.
All right, look,
You know what? There's a difference between mentally ill people... And people who purposely go out and murder somebody.
Well, that's true.
If the man who set the fire was completely out of his his stupid mind, and he was really mentally ill, then there's a reason. I mean, not to say that it was a good reason, but there was some reason why he did that.
Well, look, I don't know what you're talking about now.
But what about Scott?
Confusing that.
Is he mentally ill? Is Scott Peterson mentally ill?
I think that Scott just needs to know right from wrong. I think it's a basic
thing. What do you
want
to rehabilitate him from?
It's just a basic thing. Just know right from wrong. Just say this is good.
What kind of rehabilitation?
Well, what you do, it's just say, it can be something as simple as slapping his hand if he's reaching for the wrong thing at dinner. They have a lot of people that they put, well, I know you're patronizing me, and that's fine, but I've been involved in the rehabilitation. You never heard of rehabilitating people?
I really heard of rehabilitation.
Slapping his hand.
Alcohol, but for a murderer?
Absolutely. And I'll bet you the minute that Scott threw that, I bet you the minute he dumped her body in the bay, he felt horrible about it.
And now you're feeling bad because he lost three girlfriends too? Well, I really feel sorry for him. I really do.
Good. Then what I would suggest you do is to write him a letter, care of the Contra Costa County
Jail. I'm not going
to
write him any letters. You know what? I wouldn't even think of writing him a letter. Ma'am, here's what I would suggest you do.
The next time you watch Magnum P.I., concentrate on the story and not Tom Selleck's ass.
All right, okay. Thank you very much. Let's go to Sandra on the Phil Henry Show. Hold on, Sandra. Let me go over to Sherry. Go ahead, Sherry. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I want to say something about the Eighth Amendment, how this guy says it violates his rights for the Eighth Amendment.
It's undue torture, unusual torture.
Anytime anybody goes to trial, they're exposed to the evidence for the case. And for a murder trial, they're going to show the pictures of the murder. And any defendant is going to have to witness these things. So everybody who gets convicted of murder or anybody who's innocent and is proven innocent had to be subjected to those things.
That's understood. But why do they have to bring the baby out in a Ziploc bag, lay it on the table?
I doubt they're going to do that.
You put an autopsy picture of a dead baby on a man's food tray. And you're telling me that...
On a food tray, he's a murderer. He's
what do you mean on a food tray?
Whoa. I thought you said the guy gets to have a trial, and you've already got him tried and convicted and put in the electric chair?
There's so much evidence against this guy.
Well, no, I would say that when the guy's about to sit down to a corned beef sandwich and you happen to slip a picture of a dead baby on his tray, I think there's some problem.
I didn't slip a picture of a dead baby.
Yes, you did. You are advocating
that.
You are advocating that, and I'm saying...
No, she's not. I didn't hear the lady advocate that at all.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I'm just saying when he's in court...
Is that my bus?
This happens to everybody who goes to court. How else,
my bus is leaving.
Happen?
I got to catch a bus, Phil. I'm...
All right, can you stay with us for 5 more minutes?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Sherry. Did you want to conclude your comment? And then...
Yeah, well, I just want to say that this lawyer just seems like he's just full of baloney because he's saying that this guy can get rehabilitated and anybody... And he went on saying how he may have killed his wife and kid, and then he goes and uses that
but,
it's undue torture to this guy to even if he did murder
right.
this baby,
I think
to see it in a plastic bag.
You say to him, hey, look, we're going to bring you breakfast, and instead you throw a baby in a plastic bag on his tray.
Well, why do you keep...
What is it with you
and
that?
He's in court, you know,
yeah.
And you're contradicting yourself because you're saying that he's all sensitive, that he's going to have such a hard time seeing his baby.
Yes, and I'm trying
and
to... I just think it's going to be wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. You want to know why I'm at a bus terminal right now, Sherry?
No, why?
Because I have to get out of town. I defended a woman in a divorce proceeding against a very vindictive husband, and I'm good. I'm so good that I got her $150 million, and I'm getting on a bus this afternoon, and I'm heading, and I'm not going to tell you where I'm going because I'm obviously on the radio, to get away from this guy. That's how good I am.
Yeah, you're good enough to get that guy scot-free who burned up all those kids in that orphanage. You're just one of these lawyers that just ruins the whole legal system.
Ma'am, the United States of America guarantees a human being the right to an attorney, even if you cooked 30 kids in an orphanage. I'm not saying what the guy did was right. I'm just, give me an opportunity to snap my suspenders a little bit. Just kind of polish up the apple, that's
how
all.
How can you sleep at
slap
night?
Slap your suspenders, huh? When this guy is walking after butchering up these children, and you're on a bus trying to get out of town, huh?
I got a bus leaving in about 5 minutes, yeah.
How right? can you sleep at night? You're just one of these people that
I take the whole legal system. I take too long.
All right, Sherry, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Can you hang a couple more minutes?
Couple more minutes. The bus to Bakersfield? A couple more minutes, Phil.
Go ahead, Ramita.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is my first time calling the show.
Yes,
actually,
ma'am.
I wanted to make a comment to the lawyer. I'm glad. I respect
Rich
the fact that he wants to defend his client, and he's behind his client 100%. But I'm a little concerned about him emphasizing the importance of a human being. I mean, you know, he's so worried about his client losing his girlfriend, but he's not really worried about, you know, the impact of the two people that we have lost.
Well, I'm not Scott Peterson's attorney. I want to say that. Second, I'm just an interested observer of the case. Secondly, I would say that, I have total and complete sympathy for the wife and for the fetus. It must have been tough. Being murdered can't be a picnic.
Sir, with all due respect, you know, when you explained his case, you
give
know,
me two
he
bags
said
of salt and vinegar chips and a bag of red vines. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, sir, with all due respect, when you were describing his case about how Scott lost his wife and his son Connor, and then when we, you know, when the callers were attacking you,
bag
you
of
called
red vines
the
too.
Baby fetus.
I'm
so
sorry, I called
it. Is it a fetus or is it a baby? I mean, can you know?
Yeah, Dr. Pepper.
You seem like you're changing your story.
Well, I'm sorry about that. What I meant was what is it that got pushed out of her body?
The baby.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. And I think, Scott, when I look at him, I see myself. And I think 6 months, even if they have to beat him with a baseball bat, even if that's what it is, it's better than taking the man's life. I'm very big on, I believe in capital punishment, but then again, I kind of don't. I'm torn. Now, I got to go. My bus to Bakersfield is leaving. I've got a very pissed off ex-husband after me. I said it, Dr. Pepper. See, I can't even get the guy to give me the red vines and the Dr. Pepper, Ramita.
Well, I just hope whatever they're paying you, sir, it's not enough because, you know, when you do go before God, you know, he's not going to be enough money to save you. So
well,
I'm sorry about that.
Can you shine my shoes in 60 seconds? I'm sorry, what did you say, ma'am?
I said whatever these people are paying you, sir, it's not enough because
it's not enough.
You're going to go in front of God, you know, he's... just want to have a little talk with you about
it. Can I ask you a question, Elsa? Do you have a spare bedroom?
No, I don't actually.
All right, because I got to get out of town. And
yeah, that's fine. Thanks very much, Ramita.
Come on. I want to spit shine on those, too.
So you're catching your bus, huh?
Yeah. But I'm not telling you where.
You already asked the guy to bus to Bakersfield.
Oh, but that's... I said, where's the bus to Bakersfield? He said, it's leaving in 5 minutes. I said, good, I'm not getting on that one.
Okay, well, good luck, man, with this ex-husband.
Yeah, I got to get out of here.
1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The voice of Rich Slauson was played by me, or that was my voice. The part of Rich Slauson was played by me. Austin Amarca, auto mechanic, was on our show yesterday talking about how he doesn't do any pansy-ass repairs like repairing tires, and some woman called not too happy with him.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't know your name, sir. What is your name, the mechanic?
My name's Austin Amarca.
Say it again.
Austin Amarca. What, are you writing a book?
Amarca?
Are you writing a book?
Well, you don't have to be rude, sir.
I'm not being rude.
Well, you don't have to ask her, is she writing a book?
I'm having a hard time hearing him. But I'm going to tell you this. If I came into your shop and asked you to fill up my wiper fluid and you told me that, I would be sniffing your, cutting your balls off and stuffing them down your throat. Now, that's as dirty as I'm going to get.
Told you
what. I will tell you this. I am a woman. I drive an 18-wheeler, and I can do my own work. I know what a headlight and a taillight is. There's a lot of women that don't know that.
Why would you come in and ask me to do work? Because you want to just start a fight?
No, I know how, but there's a lot of women that don't. So don't treat them like they're dummies.
No,
it's
I'm
people
not.
Like you that give mechanics a bad name.
What are you going to...
I hope that you go out of business.
What are you going to cut my balls off for? Why? Just because I said
you treated me like that?
Did what?
Pulling
that, you talk about wanting respect. The lady had it right that talked earlier. You don't deserve respect because you don't earn it.
No.
You treat a woman like she's an idiot.
How do you spell your name, ma'am?
C-A-R-L-A.
Is that your last name or your first name?
That's her first name.
That's my first name.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. I'm talking to the lady. Is that your last name or your first name, ma'am?
That's my first name.
And how do you spell your last name? Let me see if I got it right. D-U-M-B-A-S-S.
Okay, now that is uncalled for.
Well, that's, she started it.
No, you're childish. Start at my foot. There's nothing to it.
Right.
You're disrespectful.
Yes, and also a very good point here is that if you are asking for it, Mr. Amarca, you're going to get it.
Asking for what?
Sticking somebody's car keys down into your underwear and then pulling it out and giving it to them is asking
for it. You know what I would do if you did that to me?
What?
Oh, I guarantee you, you would be in jail in a heartbeat.
What are you going to put me in jail for? Putting my car keys in your car keys in my underwear?
You know what? I'm glad I don't live in California. I'm in Michigan. But I was so angry at the way you act, you talk.
I'm a businessman.
I had to call, and I've never called a talk show before.
Ma'am, I'm a businessman. I'm trying to get it across to these people. You don't roll in here and ask me.
You need to have respect for people if you're going to work with the public. If you don't want to work with the public, don't work with them.
Ma'am, I've never hit a woman with a crowbar. But if you came into my station...
Oh, I'd beat you to it. I got a cedar bar that's about 4 foot long. I'd beat you to it.
And what am I supposed to do if you take the time to sniff those keys? Yeah, see?
Okay, that does it.
I didn't hear what he said.
You don't need to. Carla, you don't need to hear it. Believe me.
I'll say it again.
I will not let this lady hear what you just said. It is the vilest.
I said she'd sniff the keys.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, by the way, Sean Penn, you're all upset about Clear Channel and all these big mega corporations that run the information business in America. What do you call MGM? What do you call Columbia? What do you call Sony Pictures, huh? Who are you working for, you lightweight? You're working for the biggest corporate bullcrap machine in the history of the world, the movie business. Who are you guys kidding? You too, Robbins. The time you guys are on your knees on your knee pads in those offices of those guys, whoever the hell they are, one day they're Japanese, the next day they're American, you guys are begging to have your movie made. And this guy Penn publishes a front page thing in the New York Times talking about artists and about misrepresentation. You guys are on your knees with the knee pads to the biggest corporate bullcrap spewing machine in history, the big movie business. Although I gotta get out and see Daredevil. Well, I'm gonna rent it now. Sorry.